Welcome to Radio SIH, dedicated to improving the health and well-being of all people in Southern Illinois. Here's Deborah Howell.
Welcome to Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I am Deborah Howell, and today we'll be talking about something that's absolutely critical to our well-being, how to make sure we care for ourselves so we can do our best to prevent colon and rectal cancer, diverticulitis, and many more. Our guest today is Dr. Satyadeep Bhattacharya, colon and rectal surgeon at SIH Medical Group. Welcome, Dr. Bhattacharya.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, we're so glad to have you on the program. You know, there are more than a few common disease conditions we could discuss today, but let's begin with just two. What are colon cancer and rectal cancer?
Well, you know, colon and rectal cancer are kind of on the spectrum of the same disease, and it is one of the most common cancers in the world and is responsible for a lot of deaths around the world as well. Mm-hmm. In the U.S. alone, we get about 140,000 cases of colon cancer every year that are diagnosed, and that unfortunately accounts for over 50,000 deaths every year.
Mm.
So it is a major disease problem, which is why, as a health profession, we have been trying really hard to try and combat it by catching colon cancer in its early stages, which brings us to screening.
Yes.
And we have developed screening protocols for people to start getting various screening tests, colonoscopy probably being the best screening test you can get over some of the other tests that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, I always really try to stress to my patients or whenever I'm doing any public education programs is if you turn 50, then you need to start getting screened for colon cancer. You need a colonoscopy at age 50, regardless of whether, you know, some people say, I don't have any family history of cancer. Oh, I don't have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're 50 years old, because 90% of colon cancer occurs in people over 50 years of age,
90%.
You need a colonoscopy starting then.
Yes.
Now, if you do have a family history of colon cancer or rectal cancer or multiple other cancers, then that could increase your risk for developing colon cancer or rectal cancer. And in those cases, sometimes we will start screening you earlier at a younger age or even start screening you at shorter intervals, depending on, you know, what the specifics of the family history are, or depending on what our findings are during the our colonoscopy.
Right. As an example, my sister had a perfectly clean colonoscopy in her 50s, and then now she's 62, and she went back in, and there were three ginormous polyps that, had mm-hmm. she not had her colonoscopy at that time, would have been very, very troublesome.
Exactly. And see, most colon cancers start as polyps.
Mm-hmm.
So they start as these small polyps, which are benign to begin with. But even though they are benign, they are precancerous in that as they grow bigger and they develop more mutations in their DNA, these polyps can turn into cancer and invade deeper through the wall of the bowel. And as they invade deeper, eventually they can spread to lymph nodes, as well as through the bloodstream to other organs like the liver and the lung.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously at that point, the cancer has spread, and it's a much more advanced case, which we can treat so easily when we find it early as a polyp by just taking the polyp out.
Right, right. So she did have to go back 6 months later and then do another one, and it was mm-hmm. perfectly fine then. But had she not gone, I mean, you know, people really, I don't think, get the urgency of how necessary these procedures are.
They are extremely necessary, and I mean, it's sad that people who fall through the cracks and don't get their screening tests mm-hmm. end up with advanced cancers.
Yeah.
And it is so preventable. It is one of the most preventable cancers, where if you do get your screenings, you have every chance of having a good outcome.
Right, right. Let's move on to another burgeoning disease in our country, diverticulitis. You hear a little bit about it, but I'm not sure people know exactly what it is.
So, you know, diverticulitis refers to inflammation associated with diverticula. Now, diverticula are basically these little pockets that form in your colon wall mm-hmm. when there is a high pressure inside the colon, often arising from a lack of fiber in the diet, mm-hmm. constipation, and then at areas of weakness along the colon wall, these little pockets bulge out. And with continuing high pressure in the colon, some of these pockets can rupture. And then that releases a little bit of bacteria or into the surrounding tissue and creates a lot of inflammation, which is when people get pain and fevers, and they can get pretty sick from that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And when you just have, if you only have diverticula, or you know, you just have the pockets, but there is no inflammation, then we actually just call it diverticulosis.
Okay.
But when these cause symptoms by, you know, rupturing and creating inflammation, then that's what becomes diverticulitis.
How do you feel when you have diverticulitis? What are your symptoms?
So the most common symptom is pain.
Mm-hmm.
And people will have pain. Usually the most common site for diverticulitis is a part of the colon that we call the sigmoid colon, which is
mm-hmm.
just before your rectum.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will have lower abdominal pain or pain on the left side of their abdomen. And, you know, that can be associated with fevers as well as general feeling of, you know, unwellness, which can happen when you have a septic response.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And it really depends on how severe the diverticulitis is, how big the hole in the colon is where it has ruptured,
mm-hmm.
how much contamination there is within the abdomen through that hole because stool and bacteria leak out.
Mm.
Now, for mild cases, you know, people just have a little bit of symptoms, then, you know, they can actually be treated as outpatients with oral antibiotics and they can get better.
Mm-hmm.
But for more severe cases, that can actually involve having to, you know, admit people to the hospital, give them IV antibiotics. And for even more severe cases, it can involve emergency surgery, which can also at times you know, be very challenging for us as surgeons because
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of inflammation in the area.
Yeah.
And what we try to do during those surgeries is try to take out that diseased part of the bowel. But at times, we also have to give people an ostomy, which is temporary in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you trying to... So you're saying you're actually removing that part of the bowel, not repairing it?
No. So once these diverticula form in the colon, they never go away.
Okay.
Now, just because you do have these pockets or diverticula does not mean you always need surgery.
Okay.
When we talk about best medical management for diverticulosis,
mm-hmm.
we are talking about really lifestyle changes. We're talking about people increasing the amount of fiber that they take in their diet, taking a fiber supplement to additionally, you know, increase the amount of fiber, and to take lots of fluids so that your stools are bulky and soft. They don't sit in the colon and increase the pressure. We want the stools to pass along without
yes.
increasing pressure in the colon and creating more problems with forming more diverticula and rupturing them.
Okay.
So, but if someone has repeated episodes of diverticulitis, then, you know, we have to sit down and have a discussion with patients about, all right, so with all of this, there is an increased risk that you're going to keep having these repeated attacks. And that's when we say, all right, we're going to go ahead and plan an elective surgery as opposed to doing an emergency surgery.
There's so much more we could talk about, but I guess we'll just have to have you back, Dr. Bhattacharya, because we are out of time today. But thank you so, so much. I think you've really underscored why we really need to have our screenings and really need to, you know, pay attention to our gut.
A high-fiber diet, you know, less red meats, all of that helps with colon cancer, with diverticulitis. A lot of it is down to how we eat and our lifestyles. And
right.
as a population, we need to work on that.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Bhattacharya, for being on the program today. I think you've motivated us to see our doctors regularly and to be diligent about doing everything we can to prevent some of the diseases we've discussed today. That's our show for this week. Please join us again for another edition of Radio SIH, brought to you by Southern Illinois Healthcare. I'm Deborah Howell. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.